This podcast will cover the subject of the writings and depictions on the Egyptian walls, in temples, tombs, etc. A chapter from Mustafa Gadalla's book, The Untainted Egyptian Origin. This subject consists of 6 topics.
First topic, the character of Egyptian art. Art, like anything in Egyptian life, was a part of the master plan of man and the universe. The Egyptians were able to reduce their universal environment into a rational and finite system. Accordingly, art had a canon of proportion to which it should conform. As a result, the ground plan and elevations of an Egyptian building, as well as statues, etc., reflected a particular and a meaningful mathematical order. The careful definition of the separate planes of this cubical universe is revealed in an art which is essentially two-dimensional. In order to represent three-dimensional objects on a plane surface, the Egyptians avoided the perspectival solution of the problem. That resulted in a two-dimensional profile, with the exception of a few parts of the body, like the eyes and sometimes the horns. The Egyptian artist presented in his work the idea of objects, rather than their exact realization in a spatial context. Their creative artistic conception is similar to God's creative actions. As a result of God's word, utterance, the world was created. Additionally, each statue, painting, relief, or building had to undergo, under its completion, the ritual of the opening of the mouth to ensure that it was transformed from an inanimate product of man's hands into a vibrant part of the divine order charged with numinous power. The end result is an unfrozen, vibrant, dynamic, expressive, and active art. Second topic, the dynamic walls, bas-relief. The Egyptian sculptures, friezes, and paintings were carefully planned according to harmonic, geometric, and proportional laws. The walls of the Egyptian temple were covered with animated images, including hieroglyphs, to facilitate the communication between the above and the below. The ancient Egyptian framework was usually a square, representing the manifested world, squaring of the circle. Additionally, the square grid itself had the symbolic meaning of the manifested world, which also made it easy to construct the root rectangles of 2, 3, and 5 from or within a square background. The corners of squares and root rectangles were defined by notches along the perimeter, or carefully defined by incised lines. Design that is based on root rectangles is called generative dynamic design, which only the Egyptians practiced. Egyptian sacred objects and buildings have geometries based upon the division of space attained by the root rectangles and their derivatives, such as the neb, golden proportion. The Egyptian bas-relief composition shows that its designer proportioned the picture, as well as the groups of hieroglyphs, by the application of whirling square rectangles to a square. The outlines of the major square are carefully incised into the stone by short bars. Practically all figures on the walls of the Egyptian buildings are in profile form, indicative of action and interaction between the various symbolic figures. A wide variety of actions in the forms are evident. Wall depictions show very active and interactive actions with amazing symbolism. A common example is how some figures are shown with two right or left hands. An active right hand symbolizes giving, an active left hand signifies receiving. When the symbolic role of the person is wholly active, he is shown with two right hands. When his role is wholly passive, he has two left hands. Third topic, cosmic consciousness or mundane art. The scenes of daily activities found inside Egyptian tombs show a strong perpetual correlation between the earth and heavens. The scenes provide graphical representations of all sorts of activities: hunting, fishing, agriculture, legal courts, and all kinds of arts and crafts. Portraying these daily activities in the presence of the Netheru, gods, goddesses, or with their assistants signifies their cosmic correspondence, a strong perpetual correlation between the earth and heavens. This perpetual correlation, cosmic consciousness, was echoed in Asleptus 3, 25, of the Hermetic texts. In Egypt, all of the operations of the powers which rule and work in heaven have been transferred to earth below. It should rather be said that the whole cosmos dwells in Egypt as in its sanctuary. Every action, no matter how mundane, had in some sense a cosmic corresponding act: plowing, sowing, reaping, brewing, the sizing of a beer mug, building ships, waging wars, playing games, all were viewed as earthly symbols for divine activities. In other words, for ancient and Baladi Egyptians, every physical aspect of life had a symbolic, metaphysical meaning, but also every symbolic act of expression had a material background, as above, so below, and as below, so above. Fourth topic, symbolism. A symbol, by definition, is not what it represents, but what it stands for, what it suggests. A symbol reveals to the mind a reality other than itself. Words convey information. Symbols evoke understanding. In the Egyptian temples, the ancient Egyptians utilized pictorial symbols to represent metaphysical concepts. As the saying goes, a picture is worth a thousand words. In Egyptian symbolism, the precise role of the Netheru, gods or goddesses, are revealed in many ways: by dress, headdress, crown, feathers, animal, plant, color, position, size, gesture, sacred object, example, flail, scepter, staff, ankh, etc. A chosen symbol represents that function or principle on all levels simultaneously, from the simplest, most obvious physical manifestation of that function to the most abstract and metaphysical. This symbolic language represents a wealth of physical, psychological, physiological, and spiritual data in the presented symbols. Fifth topic, animal symbolism. To the ancient Egyptians, each animal or bird symbolizes and embodies certain divine functions and principles in a particularly pure and striking fashion. As such, the animal or animal-headed Netheru, gods or goddesses, are symbolic expressions of a deep spiritual understanding. When a total animal is depicted in ancient Egypt, it represents a particular function or attribute in its purest form. When an animal-headed figure is depicted, it conveys that particular function or attribute in the human being. Let us take the example of the dog, which embodies the essence of spiritual guidance. The dog, or jackal, is known for its reliable homing instinct, day or night. As such, it is an excellent choice for guiding the soul of the deceased through the regions of the Duat. The metaphysical role of Anubis, the dog, is reflected in his diet. The dog, or jackal, feasts on carrion, turning it into beneficial nourishment. In other words, Anubis represents the capacity to turn waste into useful food for the body and soul, as in the alchemical way of transforming lead into gold. Several examples of animal symbolism can be found in Egyptian Divinities, The All Who Are the One, by Mostafa Gadala. Sixth topic, the three roles of each hieroglyphic image. The ancient Egyptians' pictorial system is commonly called hieroglyphs, comprised of a large number of pictorial symbols. The word hieroglyph means holy script. Hieros equals holy, glyphon equals impress. The metaphorical and symbolic concept of hieroglyphs was unanimously acknowledged by all early writers on the subject, such as Plutarch, Diodorus, Clement, etc. The Hieroglyphics of Horapollo is the only true hieroglyphic treatise preserved from classic antiquity. It consists of two books, one containing 70 chapters, the other 119, each dealing with one particular hieroglyph. The relations between sign and meaning were, according to Horapollo, always of an allegorical nature, and it was always established by means of philosophical reasoning. Accordingly, each hieroglyph has a short heading describing either the hieroglyph itself, in simple terms, as, for instance, the explanation of the picture of a falcon, or else stating the nature of the allegorical subject to be explained, such as how to signify eternity, or how to signify the universe. Likewise, Clement of Alexandria in Stromata, Book 5, Chapter 4, tells us the two main roles, literal and symbolic, of the Egyptian hieroglyphs, and how the later, symbolic, contains two roles, figurative and allegoric, mystical. The Egyptian hieroglyphic, of which one aspect is by the first element is literal and the other symbolic. Of the symbolic, one kind speaks literally by imitation, and another writes as if it were figuratively, and another is quite allegorical, using certain enigmas. On the first role or subject, literally, by imitation, Clement in Stromata Book 5, Chapter 4 continues, "Wishing to express sun in writing, they make a circle, and moon, a figure like the moon, like its proper shape." On the second role or subject, figurative, Clement in Stromata Book 5, Chapter 4 continues, "But in using the figurative style, by transposing and transferring, by changing and by transforming in many ways as suits them, they draw characters." On the third role or subject, allegorical, Clement in Stromata Book 5, Chapter 4 continues, "Let the following stand as a specimen of the third species, the enigmatic. For the rest of the stars, on account of their oblique course, they have figured like the bodies of serpents, but the sun like that of a beetle, because it makes a round figure of ox dung and rolls it before its face. And they say that this creature lives 6 months underground, and the other division of the year above ground, and emits its seed into the ball, and brings forth, and that there is not a female beetle." Clement, like all classical writers of antiquities, asserted that the Egyptian hieroglyphics represented true images of the divine law. The relations between sign and meaning were always of an allegorical nature, and it was always established by means of philosophical reasoning. To summarize, the symbolic Egyptian hieroglyphic writing is basically divided into three roles. 1. The imitative. An object represents itself. 2. The figurative. An object stands for one of its qualities. And 3. The allegorical. An object is linked through enigmatic conceptual processes. In fact, these categories describe relations between visual forms and their meanings. A visual form may be mimetic or imitative, directly copying features of the object it represents. It may be associative, suggesting attributes which are not visually present, such as abstract properties incapable of literal depiction. And finally, it may be symbolic, meaningful only when decoded according to conventions or systems of knowledge which, though not inherently visual, are communicated through visual means. Much more about this subject can be found in The Egyptian Hieroglyph Metaphysical Language by Mostafa Gadala.
Thank you for listening to this excerpt from the book The Untainted Egyptian Origin, as authored by Mostafa Gadala.